All right, let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges, from sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends. And they'll deliver them discreetly right to your doorstep. And you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with the promo code BROS. Tried a bunch of their gummies myself, and it's wild how different each one feels. They're sleepy time gummies. Knock me out in about 15 minutes flat. No hangovers, no grogginess. I wake up feeling amazing the next day. And their epic euphoria gummies, well, they're perfect for those days when nothing's going right and you just need to hit the reset button on your shitty mood. What makes these different is how they've paired THC and other cannabinoids with herbs and adaptogens. You're just not going to find gummies like this in a dispensary or anywhere else, for that matter. And they've got gummies for literally everything. Immune supports, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, sexual arousal. And each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS. And they can ship to almost every single state in the United States of America. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off with their first order with code BROS. So head on over to Mood.com. Browse their amazing selection of functional gummies and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use the promo code BROS at checkout to save 20% off your first order. Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get, well, not that good at it. You could do about half of your New Year's resolutions. You could, I don't know, join a CrossFit gym or something like that. Or you can start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. So, man, if you're out there and you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your own home. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find out which one works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. So there is no uncomfortable doctor visits. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if a treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinkingbros. That's Hims.com/drinkingbros for your personalized hair loss options. Hims.com/drinkingbros.
Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink. Welcome to Drinking Bros. Kids didn't get a flight out. It got canceled, Anthony. So here I am in studio for one more day today.
I told you.
You were right, man. I was not expecting yet another blizzard. That was a surprise for me.
It wasn't really a blizzard.
But you saw the footage where I was, right? Like, that was gnarly, man.
I mean, I like that kind of snow.
Do you?
Yeah, but as long as it's not on top of
Old Smoky.
Like 6 fucking feet of frozen ice already. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Moving to singles, Dan. Let's do it today.
I'm going with some Cardamax Energy Intensifier Vodka and White Claw. That's my new mix lately.
Ooh, let's see that, dude.
It's good. I've been drinking this a lot lately.
Look at that.
In the middle of the day.
Look at that. That Cardamax package is easy, too, to open, in case you're wondering at home. Big fan, Cardamax. What is it? It's BOGO there.
Energy Intensifier.
Buy one, get one free.
It makes me think of those memes where it's like whatever intensifies.
Yeah.
And the thing starts shaking. It doesn't make you shake. But
no, but it makes you want to punch a baby, dude. Sure, it's great.
Or punch Ray Kerr in the face.
Yeah.
I don't know why I want to punch him so bad.
I wouldn't recommend it.
No, he'll beat the Christ out of somebody. He's a beefcake.
Yeah. He's a large man. But go to cardomax.com and then promo code DB. For a BOGO there, buy one, get one free, just because we love it. We've been drinking it all day. Because we're stuck in the studio, so we thought, hey, man, I'm going to record one more before I get out of here. And I want to speak on...
There's a lot of stuff going on here.
Yes. And I want to talk about what we got from fake news. Because there was a lot of fucking comments on fake news that they were like, man, I don't know why you'd go so hard on Ted Cruz. Like, you know... he was taking his daughter on an early spring break. I mean, I've read all of the comments on all of our things, and I'm like, first of all, it's February. Spring break isn't for a good month, 6 weeks, right? Can't hear that. He also flew back himself and said, hey, man, this was the wrong thing for me to do. Look, I don't give a shit about Ted Cruz. I never have.
No one really cares about him. People
apparently they do, because we got a lot of messages.
People feel like, and it's what I talk about all the time, with binary politics, you feel like you're in a position that you have to defend this person, even when they act like a piece of shit. It is a problem. If you're not as mad about Ted Cruz doing what he did as you were about Nancy Pelosi and the fucking hairdresser or
Gavin Newsom
and French Laundry, then you're a fucking hypocrite, frankly. I don't want to hear from you. I've been arguing with people about it all day. Oh, this isn't even comparable to what fucking Cuomo did. No, it's not comparable to what he did. But being a piece of shit is being a piece of shit.
Right.
Like, what is it? We're having a dick measuring contest about who's the bigger cunt. They're all fucking cunts. APAC, bitch. You know what I mean? So get the fuck out, Ted. You lost. You get one chance. You only get one shot. Mom Spaghetti, the whole thing.
Yes. And I agree, man, with all these people. And it's like, dude, we went hard after Cabo Steve Adler here, the mayor of Austin.
Yeah, he and Cruz should go together next time.
That's what I said. I said on Twitter, I was like, dude, go and do this stuff together. Like,
suck each other's dicks.
It's the optics of it. Now, me as a person, do I give a shit? No. Because even somebody was like, well, hey, man, you're going to leave. You're going to leave and go back to North Carolina.
Dude,
I lost the first floor in my house, and that's fine. Yeah. I'm with a 2-year-old. I'm also not an elected official.
Well, you're leaving after the emergency's over, by the way. Not during it.
It's going to be 70.
And people have said that, too. Like, if you had the ability to leave, you would have. I've got plenty of money. I could leave here anytime I fucking want. I've got a four-wheel drive SUV. I could have driven out of here on Tuesday and said, fuck all you motherfuckers, man. That would be very easy to do.
Yeah, and it's like, hey, man, I get another place. I have a 2-year-old. I'm not an elected official, so... therefore, I don't give a shit.
I mean, the equivalent would
now,
have...
Now, if I was an elected official and left, forget about that.
In this scenario, the equivalent would have been you leaving Jesse and the kids at home and going to fucking Cabo. You know what I mean? That would have been the equivalent. Not leaving the state with your family.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When you're an elected official, your family is your constituency. Mm-hmm. You don't have the luxury anymore to just be loyal to your fucking internal, like your immediate family. That's not how that fucking works.
Yeah, man. And, you know, we can't go after other people and not go after Ted Cruz, right? So we call it like we see it. We call it even here on this one. So as far as the comments and all that, like, that won't stop. If you make a bad decision and the optics look bad for your party or you as a representative, yes, dude, we'll call you out. I don't care who it is. I love Trump. He didn't win. I wasn't happy with Trump's Twitter in the way that he used it, but it didn't stop me from voting for him. But hey, man, all of these candidates all the way around, if they make mistakes, you have to, or not candidates, fucking elected officials. If they make mistakes, dude, you go after them, and that's it, man. Fuck, I don't know Ted Cruz. He could be a rad dude. You know?
No, he's definitely not. Ted Cruz is a piece of shit.
He could be doing blow in Cancun.
If he was doing cocaine, that would be fine with that. But what I'm not fine with is the fact that he spent half of his career trying to keep gay people from getting married. Mind your fucking business, Ted.
Yeah.
You fucking little bitch. He also reauthorized the Patriot Act. This guy's a cunt.
Yeah.
Just like every other fucking politician. All politicians are cunts.
And if you can't call out every politician, then we're hypocrites for calling out me personally, right? I'm a fucking Republican. I can't call out AOC and all these other fucking idiots if I can't call out people from my own fucking party too. That's not how it works. I'll look like a fucking asshole. So yes, dude, Cancun Cruz made a mistake. So did Cabo Steve and the rest of these fucking idiots, Gavin Newsom, Pelosi, everybody else that we have named. But that's the deal.
The point isn't that Ted Cruz is a piece of shit. The point isn't how much of a piece of shit he is in comparison to Pelosi or way up here, Cuomo or whatever the fuck. The point is they're all pieces of shit.
Yeah.
Do not trust these fucking people.
No.
God damn it, man. I don't know how many times I got to fucking say this shit.
It's crazy. So that's one at the top here. Two off the top is the Facebook thing. Now we did this in depth.
Did we get back on it
thing
today?
With Jared? That's a great question. Fake Dan, did we get back on this yesterday or today when we went back to
I'm not seeing stream a notification on for it.
Well, we're not streaming today because this is pre-recorded for Sunday night. But I'll tell the audience what's going on. We walked in to the studio after Thursday's episode with Jared. We went live for Fake News, and we have this program called Restream, right? Pretty pricey. It goes out to all the channels, and we were like, hey, man, let's get it out to YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, personal sites, some other thing. It does it for you all at the same time, and it's live. It's a great app, and it's awesome. This morning when we got in, we saw that Facebook, we got a message from Restream saying, hey, man, Facebook is now disallowed, yeah. Drinking Bros podcast.
To be clear, we've been using this forever.
Forever.
And we've been putting full episodes on Drinking Bros for
Drinking Bros
six
podcast
years.
On Facebook
almost.
Yeah.
I mean, not consistently. There were gaps, but it's definitely been up there consistently for a while now. And we've been putting them on at least intermittently for 6 years now.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, when Jared goes into an in-depth discussion about how to stop Facebook
from stealing your data,
from following you around, like they capture every fucking piece of data on your phone. When you leave the Facebook app, it's still running in the background. It's looking at your web history, your emails, everything, your text messages, everything.
Yeah.
Jared showed people how to turn that off, and within minutes, they killed our feed on Facebook.
I mean, we were live on air, and they killed the feed.
I am not – everybody knows, if you watch the show that I used to do with Brinkus, Conspiracy Truth Finders, mostly what we did was make fun of conspiracy theories because most of them are fucking stupid.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
I'm not either.
This is not a conspiracy. This is – cause and effect.
Yes. And we got the email and we screenshotted it, so we have it. We'll do another episode going more in depth about that later.
We're
going
to do an entire episode just about how to fuck Facebook over, probably, right?
Yeah.
Because fuck them.
And I mean, look, they're going through it with Australia now, and we talked about that as well on the last show with the news and everything else. They want to own everything, control everything. They want to become their own media. Tell you what to do, tell you how to think, tell you what you should buy, all based on an algorithm. But when you tell people at home how to shut that feature off of their app, they will kill the feed and then they won't allow you to post anymore. Now, the craziest part for me, Dan, and I don't know if you agree with me on this, was how quickly the AI was able to pick it up from Facebook and kill the feed.
I think it was 7 minutes.
Yes.
We can go back. I'll go back and watch the video. Because you can tell, because we immediately, when it shut off, people started talking about it.
Yeah. But then this morning when we got in and, you know, opened up the app and we got the email from Restream saying, hey, man, Facebook is no longer allowing you guys to do that. Look, that was a tame episode, for Christ's sakes. I mean, usually we have porn stars on here or crazy shit. That was a pretty tame episode, man. You know, for the most part, we were talking about me losing my pipes in my house. Jared lost his in his house, some COVID issues, like nothing crazy. And then we
just talked about how to turn off the privacy data feature on your Facebook app. And bingo, bango.
It's funny.
It's gone.
The only reason they put the feature in there to be able to turn it off is because they're legally required to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So for those of you out there who may be thinking, well, this is a private company, they can do what they want. Sure. But there's plenty of case law that says trying to take de facto measures internally to prevent regulation from doing what it's supposed to be doing is a crime. So what they're doing, that's illegal what they're doing. They're trying to subvert privacy laws right now.
Yeah. And all we were trying to tell you to do was to try to get a little bit of privacy back of like, here's how many people are tracking your stuff. And I think it was Giorgio yesterday who pulled up my phone. And God damn it. I mean, it was like 200 companies that were attached to my feed. And I had no idea.
Yeah.
I'm not a tech guy anyways. But holy shit, man, yeah. I was unaware that that's how many people were on the back end of just my personal page. That wasn't even on like fan pages or anything like that. Cause I mean, Drinking Bros Podcast has about 68,000 followers on that feed. And like, you know, a lot of people said to me, hey man, Facebook isn't what it used to be and it's not that popular, right? I agree with you. I can't wait till it's over, me personally, but until there is another app that replaces Facebook, we're kind of stuck for some of these things.
I think we need another Me Too movement.
For tech, for big tech.
Yeah. It's like, I got fucked by big tech too.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. well, the rumor is
Apple's
dropping the hammer.
They're at least threatening behind the scenes to remove the Facebook application from their app store.
So what happened about 48 hours ago was Tim Cook was talking about you know, things you can expect from Apple in the future.
Yeah.
And he said, look, there is one massive thing that we are working on that we are the most proud of. And we think when you look back on Apple in like 50 to 60 years, mm-hmm. it's going to be this one thing that we did that will essentially make Apple and make the world feel proud about owning Apple products.
Right.
And it mm-hmm. wasn't a product. It was simply these new privacy features that are coming out within their phones and within their computers.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what they are, but clearly they were big enough and important enough for them to go ahead and, you know, do a speech about it and everything. Yeah. So,
well, I mean, what I think the only reason that any of us are still on Facebook is because of the groups.
Yes.
And to be honest, we're going to talk about this more in depth. Me, you and Jared are going to mm-hmm. talk about Drinking Bros at large. And we'll also include Rocco, Matt and Evan, because they're really smart in this industry as well. And they have some vested interest in the Drinking Bros, not the business, but the community itself.
Yeah.
About
yeah.
moving it over to Clubhouse or something like that, because Clubhouse is group and discussion oriented. And that's kind of what these Facebook groups are meant for.
Right.
So something like Clubhouse or maybe some other thing that is not going to fuck with the content.
And not, by the way, not the podcast. We're talking about the private groups for you guys in general.
The community stuff. We don't make any money off of that, but we want you guys to be able to use it in a way that makes sense. For example,
because it's all private. So there are all these private pages, Drinking Bros.
It's private and it's an opt-in only.
Right.
So right now we get two or three posts deleted a day by Facebook inside of just Drinking Bro Sports, which has what, like 10,000 members or some mm-hmm. shit? Two or three every single day. And it's just two dudes talking shit about each other's sports teams.
And it's private.
Like, fuck you, your sports team sucks. And that's how men talk to one another.
Yeah.
And they're deleting that stuff because they're afraid of people's feelings. Now, one of the books that's going to be in my book club is called The Coddling of the American Mind, right? Basically what they talk about. These two social scientists, psychologists, talk about post-traumatic stress and cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, is mm-hmm. the most common treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder, whether it's a rape victim or somebody that had some other traumatic event, death of a family member or war or whatever it is. It teaches you to reject certain things, like catastrophizing is a process where you see some event and blow it way out of proportion. Like, it's that you've seen this quote, did you really have a bad day or did you have a bad 10 minutes and you let that make your day bad? You know right. what I mean? Stuff like that. Catastrophizing is one of them. One of them is thinking with feelings and not facts mm-hmm. a lot. All the things that cognitive behavioral therapy teaches you to not do so you can cure yourself of post-traumatic stress or at least manage it. Modern society, particularly in universities, it's teaching kids to think that way as a fucking axiom. Like, that's what they're trying to teach people to do. So it's called a safetyism, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It is out of fucking control. And I don't want our people to be subject to that stuff. You know what I mean? we're not trying to create a safe space for you somewhere else away from divergent political ideologies. I don't give a fuck if somebody likes AOC and wants to have a conversation about that.
Me neither.
Even if they want to be a dick about it, I don't really care, because I'll just be a dick back to them and we'll fucking solve it that way.
Same.
It's fine. But when Facebook steps in the middle of it and says, you guys can't have that conversation, you know what you can do, Facebook, is suck my goddamn dick, motherfucker. You don't get to tell me what conversation I can have no matter where I am.
And luckily, there is other apps that are popping up where we can have, you know, the private groups and all that stuff in there, because, you know, if you're just a casual listener, look, with 10.3 million listeners for the show per month at this point, I think it's higher now because
yeah, it's
everything
higher.
That we've gone through. A lot of people don't know that it was started by Jared Taylor on a private Facebook group. There is a private Facebook group called Drinking Bros. There's 110,000 members there. There is over 800 subgroups, and they were all private. So if you want to go on there and say whatever you're going through, whatever you're feeling, there's Drinking Bros Dads, Drinking Bros Fitness, Drinking Bros Sports.
Cigar aficionado, scotch,
auto racing. Yes.
Fucking fitness has, what, 27, 28,000 members?
Conspiracy theories. You name it, there is a Drinking Bros subgroup for it. And the reason why they exist is so you guys can have private conversations that dummies from the outside world can't get into and try to fuck it up or troll you or whatever it is. Yeah. And it's been great. Now, recently, they just deleted one, Drinking Bros Singles, which was, you know, shit, the safer way for people to meet each other and have dates and fucking meet up and do all the other shit. I don't know what happened, but Facebook deleted that group. It is not us and all this shit. It is purely Facebook. And hopefully there is something else that opens up in the future, Facebook-wise. Podcast-wise, we don't give a shit if they don't show the show on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
We were just trying to give people an easier option. You know, we're currently available on YouTube and Rumble and all of the things. And there is more coming, more apps coming and all that other shit. So we're fine with that. Podcast-wise, audio, you can listen to the show everywhere. This is simply for, like, you know, just normal people who want to chat about like-minded things that they enjoy together. And lately, it's been getting out of control on there. That conversation that we had during fake news was a total accident. We were just rapping about life, and it kind of came up. And then Jared was like, oh, hey, by the way, if you want to turn off the fucking data and privacy options on Facebook, here's how you do it. And then they nuked the feed, and then they nuked everything else.
Not only did they nuke the feed, but they revoked our credentials to go through Restream to put it on there in the first place.
Right.
They didn't just cut that episode off.
Right,
booted us off that. We're getting back on it now, but man, I mean, that's that's not good, man.
It's a weird world we live in. And those are, you know, some of the things that we wanted to address at the top of the show here. But the real meat and potatoes of today was I went on Twitter last night to kind of answer everybody's questions and things like that from yesterday's show. And if you've seen that documentary on Netflix, I know we've said it 100 times here with the what's the Facebook documentary that we've
The Social Dilemma?
That's it.
I mean, it's not a Facebook documentary. It talks about all social media.
It talks about all social media, right? One of them on there was Twitter. We talked about this on a past episode, where Twitter only puts people in your feed that you hate, or comments that you hate,
right,
which forces you to rage against them, spend more time there, rage treat against them, or whatever. Mine last night was 80s ballad singer Richard Marx. You all know Richard Marx. If you don't know Richard Marx, you've probably fingered a loved one to Richard Marx. I'm not talking about a relative, maybe a relative. I don't know.
Well, I told you this morning that I
prom or
I only fingered girls to Insane Clown Posse songs.
Right.
Which I feel like is an important thing to say. Not that I'm not even a fan. I just
You just put it on.
It seemed like the right thing to do at the time. I'm not a fan of clowns either.
Or posses.
I like posses and insanity, but clowns not so much.
Yeah.
And I love fingering, so.
Obviously.
He's a big fan of the Juggalos.
Yeah.
That whole culture.
You used to go every year.
How did, this is a good question. How did Juggalos end up as part of a terrorist watch list?
I don't know.
Like, it's just a bunch of fat neck beards that are rejects from society that get together in fields, listen to weird music, and get drunk and high. How is that a hate group? What do they do? They're not like fucking roving gangs.
I think you just described the Capitol riot.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
look,
basically the same.
It's basically the same thing. It's just like, hey man, what are we doing? And it's always peaceful.
But they didn't really riot. Have you ever been? I had some friends that were super into their music back in the day, and they would go to this stuff. And I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? And it's like, oh, it's just like a weird ass fucking loser festival. That's the way it was described to me. It's like people who are kind of like goth kids or rejects that like funny music,
right,
would go there and hang out. And it's like a super permissive and non-judgmental environment. That's what I was told.
Yeah,
that's kind of stupid, but it's fine if you like that. I don't care.
I don't mind.
Like, where are the stories of them like burning down cities and shit? That's domestic terrorism. I never got that. I don't get it either.
And it's like, hey man, it's look, everybody listens to fucking weird music and they want to get together. Dude, Tyler the Creator, who I love, he does one every year. I forget the name of it, man. He has his own fucking festival and they go bug fuck there. And he does a bunch of weird shit. I watched it this year. He brought Drake out, which was a mistake because this crowd clearly only wanted fucking Tyler the Creator. When Drake came out, that was too mainstream for them and they flipped out. They booed Drake off stage. 100,000 people booed Drake, the biggest fucking musician in the world, arguably, off the stage.
Yeah, I mean, look, Drake is writing music by algorithm. We all know that.
Yeah. But look.
But a lot of people like it, so who cares?
Yeah. And there was 100,000 people, and you figure, all right, shit, who gives a shit? But no, they were there for Tyler the Creator, his weird bullshit, and everything else. Same with Insane Clown Posse. Like, let them get together and fuck shit up. I don't care. Seems like a blast. Shit, I'd go.
I mean, if a bunch of people are getting together that you don't really like and they're fucking each other up, either way, that seems fine.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah, you're good.
I don't. What's the problem?
You're good.
I think Dennis Leary used to talk about that. He goes, you're saying that heavy metal fans, unemployed heavy metal fans, are going to concerts, listening to music, going home and killing themselves. Where's the problem?
Yeah.
Like, that's a situation that is solving itself. You know what I mean? That's Dennis Leary saying that.
Yeah,
I'm a metal fan.
Not D'Anthony. Same here. And I don't care to get together and go to fucking Insane Clown Posse. They're not a terrorist group.
I think we should have Insane Clown Posse on the show.
I'd love to. We just wouldn't recognize them. You know, they'd be in makeup probably.
I'm just picturing this chick crab walking out of Dan's apartment in the morning.
Is that what on screen right now?
Yeah.
Why would she be crab walking?
Just like a demon kind of walk.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I like that.
Insane Clown Posse is just Kiss for rap. That's all it is. And I don't think they're Jews either. Like Insane Clown, they're probably not Jews, right? They're a bunch of white dudes from Michigan or some shit.
I don't know. Again,
Violent J and some other stupid Shaggy Too Dope, I think are the names.
We did the new guy watch along on our Patreon, Drinking Bros Podcast Patreon. Gene Simmons was in that movie, and I talked about that story. I didn't really know what he looked like without makeup on, and then he ended up doing like a bunch of reality shows and shit. So I don't know what these guys look like without makeup on. That's the thing. When you're in a band where you wear fucking crazy makeup, I don't know what they look like.
Yeah, they're from parts unknown, of course.
No, they're Joseph.
They're professional wrestlers.
That's great.
That they were a professional wrestler.
Were they really?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Joseph Francis Bruce is Violent J, and he's from Berkeley, Michigan. I don't know where that is.
I don't know where, like, near
Detroit.
Near Detroit. I don't know where Richard Marx is from. But last night, when I opened up the old Twitter to answer all these fucking questions, there was a Richard Marx tweet staring me right in the beehole. Rob, can you bring up that? Just bring up my Twitter feed last night. This got fucking out of control. I'll read the first tweet. So this is what showed up in my feed to hate everyone, right? It says, hey, maggots, please give me one more example of a Democratic senator or governor who did the moral equivalent of Ted Cruz having his state in crisis while diverting crucial state resources to do so and then lying about it. One. Just one. And I was like, hey, man, what the fuck? Why is this in my feed? Why does Richard Marx, the 80s ballad guy, hold on to the night, hold on to the memory. That guy. That's the fucking guy.
Are we going to get flagged for that?
No. Well, my voice is pretty goddamn pitch perfect, maybe. What do you think, Hot Bob? Was that too identical?
I sounded like a guy who got his dick sucked by your aunt was in the room.
Ooh, now we're getting crazy here. It's called tipping the joke in the biz, Hot Bob. But so what happened was I wrote him back and I just said, hey, man. Can you pull that up a little bigger here?
That's what she said.
Just maximize it. There we go.
That's what she said. Wouldn't it be nice if you had a Zoom feature on your dick?
There, that'd be great. fucking turn it from three to
it's enhanced
to nine. Yeah,
always enhanced.
Enhance.
So I said, look, man, you told my aunt to suck your dick backstage at a show in 1987 at the Ohio Center, because wouldn't that be a cool story to tell your friends? Now you want to talk about politics and moral high grounds. I'm not even mad about the beach, hombre. And that's word for word. Just chill on the hacky political post, right? It was a one-off. I didn't really think about it. And then 2 minutes later, boom, he got back to me with this. Pop this up on the screen. Is that full screen? This is the best tweet of all time. Nothing will get better than this in my entire life. From Richard Marks. Your aunt is a liar. Chill on perpetuating the lie.
Like, does he,
hombre?
Does he have a subscription to Ancestry.com where he was able to identify all of your aunts?
I have a lot
this
of aunts.
This woman never sucked my dick. Hell no, man.
I've got a lot of aunts. Some are dead. But
to be fair, Richard Marks had his dick sucked quite a bit probably back in the 80s, right? You would think.
Yes.
Because his next few comments will illustrate why.
Oh, yeah. So then my reply to that was, Bill Clinton said the same thing. Oh, shit, he was a Democrat. Full circle moment on this one. We both just kind of answered your original question. Neat. You know, that's a neat thing. And he replies, but this kept going last night. He goes, here's the thing, dumb fuck. In 1987, I was a single 23-year-old in a rock band, having hit after hit. If this were true, why would I lie now? It's you and your aunt, who I now doubt even exists, who are full of shit, you sad, pathetic troll. First of all,
I don't feel sad about this. I feel very, I'm feeling a lot of joy right now.
A lot of joy, one. Yeah. Two, but now you think that my aunt is made up.
Well, it turns out she is.
No, she's not. She's just no longer with us, but whatever.
Did she die from the blowjob?
No, she did not die from the blowjob. I've had a bunch of family members die and like, weird ways, not going to get into it. Either way, this one in particular is no longer with us, but still, to question whether or not somebody's aunt is real or not. I don't know Richard Marks, okay? I don't know him personally. We've never hung. We've never done any gator tails together. I don't know him, but what I do know is to question whether or not my aunt is real and is possibly given a blowjob in the 80s, is a weird flex, Dan.
Yeah, it's weird that I've never heard a dude deny getting a blowjob 40 years ago.
Yeah.
That'd be a weird thing to deny, wouldn't it?
Especially somebody who is, according to his words, having hit after hit.
Yeah.
And then, so my response was, my aunt was pretty hot, so I don't blame you for asking for a mouth hug. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. John Wilkes Booth said that. Real talk, RM, and I just shortened his name to RM instead of Richard Marks. I didn't even call him Dick Marks, which I easily could have done that. I easily could have called him Dick Marks. I didn't. But I just said, politicians aren't stand-up people, and neither are you. I'm a fucking dirtbag, so stop putting these people on pedestals.
To me, this is the funniest part, because he says, congrats, you got one thing right. You are a dirtbag. Like, that's some kind of insult. Like, we've made a career off being dirtbags, bitch. That's what we do here.
And we've told people from day one, we are fucking dirtbags.
And he says, show me where I've ever praised a politician or apologized and shut the fuck up. Also, your aunt may have been hot as fuck, but she's still a liar. I like how he's still calling your aunt a liar.
Calling my aunt a liar.
Your dead aunt, by the way.
Right. So at this point, I go to his Twitter and I'm like, all right, cool, man. I could easily find, you know, something he said. So I went through it, dude, and he had fucking 55,000 tweets, like a crazy person, all about Donald Trump. So my response was, I would, but there is literally 55,800 tweets on your page to try and read, and they all start with Donald Trump. Jesus, man, it's like trying to decipher Russell Crowe's garage in A Beautiful Mind. I'm gonna hit up a friend of mine from Cambridge Analytica and get back to you. Now, I did hit up a friend. We have a bunch of friends who work for Cambridge. Hot Bob, do you have that tweet of the thing? Because there's another one in here where I talk about fucking, you know, believe all women in this. And then, you know, here we are. Richard Marks, old Dick Marks, March 30th, 2019. Sadly, it seems we live in the culture of believe women. Hashtag believe women. unless it's something bad about the candidate I like. Right?
That's how it works, right?
That's how it works. That Tara Reid woman for Biden.
And that's funny for a liberal to post that, because it is almost always leftists who sexually assault people, like Bill Clinton, for example.
Yes.
A long history of sexually assaulting people. And then
27 times then his name was listed on the flight logs to his St. James Island for Epstein.
Then his wife, who also almost became president, spent most of the late 90s and the early 2000s like hiring private investigative firms to go after these women that accused him of shit.
Right.
Right.
So what
it's are like we the doing? Two leaders of your fucking party for the last 30 years are either a rapist or somebody covering up for a rapist. And you've got the audacity to say that shit. It's unbelievable.
It's crazy. And look, I'm not saying the right is any better. We've had our fair share of dirt bags on the right as well. I just don't want to fucking post about how grandiose they are and how one side is the only side and everybody else can kind of get fucked, because then that just shuts down the dialogue. But that's what Twitter is. The reason why we're doing this show today is I don't expect to have an account anymore by Sunday. It'd be awesome if it is still there, but chances are somebody's going to get wind of this and fucking pop this down. He doesn't know. Richard Marx doesn't know we have fucking 10.3 million listeners on this goddamn thing. Whatever. What I did say was, inside the private Drinking Bros group, please go on there and ask him why he's denying a blowjob from my aunt. Now, she's no longer with us. To say that she did or did not give this blowjob.
Well, she is and she isn't.
Yeah.
If you keep scrolling down, you're going to run into an account called Auntie Patterson.
Yeah, pull up Auntie Patterson on Twitter.
Keep on scrolling down there.
No, just pull it up. There's so many comments now at this point.
Yeah.
This thing is really fucking taking a life of its own.
Yeah. Well, no, not Auntie. Auntie. This is not. We're not fucking doing that, asshole.
Yeah. Auntie Piece Patterson.
No.
There it is. Do you say Auntie or do you say Auntie?
I say Auntie.
No.
You got to put it as one word, though.
There it is. Scroll down.
There we go.
Keep going. Right there.
There it is. Yes. Yes. Pull her up. Follow her, bub. She deserves it. She deserves it.
So this is what, I guess you can see it now.
So somebody started an Auntie Patterson account. Pull up that whole profile, actually. That'd be great for the people.
Yeah, we need to see that picture.
We definitely do. Of Auntie Patterson. There she is. I don't know who this woman is. It's somebody's aunt and or mother or grandmother.
Yeah.
And just know that we love you. I don't know who did this. I don't know who made this account. I don't have any affiliation with it, but it's really fucking funny. Now pull up the tweets from there. Start with the profile. So start with her profile. It's under Auntie Patterson. Follow her, Bob. Jesus, Bob, why are you not following Auntie Patterson? Dan, still follow her. There we go. You need that in your life. Is that your account, Dan?
Yeah, this is my account. You're killing my ratio right now.
What do you mean? Is that going to fuck up your algorithm?
Follow to follow.
Oh,
me.
God. You shut up.
I don't even know what the fuck that is. I follow whoever. I don't know your shit. Except Instagram, because I don't want to see like mom's pictures and shit. I don't. I don't follow any moms. I don't want to see your kid 400 times throughout the day. I have my own children, and I love them. They're just not that interesting. So under Auntie Patterson, under the bio... whoever did this, by the way, you're a fucking genius. It says, I am so proud of my nephew, Ross Patterson. Have you seen The New Guy? He's the star of it. I sucked Richard Marx's dick in 1987.
That's apparently a big part of Auntie Patterson's personality. Like she's still living off that glory of sucking Richard Marx's dick back in 1987. By the way,
he said it would be a cool story.
Yeah, in 1987, that's the year before Right Here Waiting For You came out. So maybe she was the inspiration for that fucking song, man.
I will be right here waiting for you.
And in the back,
wherever you go.
If you turn down the instrumentals on that song
yeah.
and really listen, you can hear her gagging on Richard Marx's dick in the background. It's part of the original soundtrack. They had to fucking turn the music up 20% to get it out.
Part of the original soundtrack over there. So what did she reply, or what did this person reply?
This is why we can't have nice things, by the way.
Probably. she said, Richard. Oh, this is under your aunt is a liar. So she said, Richard, I can't believe you don't remember me. I was backstage in 1987 and you put your dick in my mouth. I thought we made a connection. Anyway, how have you been doing? I hope well.
Very polite.
Very polite.
Like, she's clearly not as angry about that blowjob as he is.
No.
And I don't know if it's because he's married to Daisy Fuentes now and he doesn't want her to know that he got some suspicious BJs back in the day. But you, I mean, you were 23 years old, dude. We've all fucked a fat old lady at 23, right?
Richard, we're fine with it. Yeah. Here's the thing. And actually, Richard Marks, I'm going to fucking call you out and actually give you some props for marrying Daisy Fuentes.
She's 54 years old and still a fucking smoke show, dude. She's hot as fuck.
Yes. Way to go, Richard.
But I've got some bad news for you, Daisy. You're married to a little bitch. So I don't know what you're going to do about that.
Wherever you go.
Do you think that's how he got her singing those songs?
You know what's weird is Daisy.
I wrote that song about you, Daisy. Like, well, you wrote that song 30 years before we met, Richard.
Well here's the thing, though. When she was the VJ at MTV, that was probably the biggest music and shit. She probably had a crush on him, and that's great.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, don't marry your childhood idols, by the way. That's not
or do.
No.
Or do.
No. Who was your childhood idol? Female.
Oh, fuck. It was Alyssa Milano.
See what I'm saying?
Nailed it. God damn it. Could you imagine how we would have killed each other?
No, she would have pretended to be dead, which is very different. That's more of an AOC style trait. Alyssa, if you guys had been married, Alyssa Milano would be in an empty parking lot somewhere taking a selfie of herself with her hand against a chain link fence.
Like, yeah.
Everything these squad people do is basically the equivalent of a girl taking a picture of herself sleeping in bed next to her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Oh, like, have you seen those posts, right?
Yeah.
Like, who took the fucking picture, bitch? Exactly. What, you got a fucking photographer in your bedroom while you're sleeping? No, you closed your eyes and took the fucking picture, idiot. Mm-hmm. Nobody believes that shit.
But the beautiful part of this is, like, so there is this segment of 80s rock stars like Richard Marx and Rick Springfield is another one who still tours. He does cruises. I just saw him on like Entertainment Tonight last week, for Christ's sake. And he's like, yeah, man, you know, through the pandemic, I'm writing two new albums. Those are coming out.
Oh, dude, I can't wait for the new Richard Marx album, said no one.
Well, this is Rick Springfield.
Oh, Rick Springfield. I don't know who that is.
So Rick Springfield was on General Hospital and then he wrote Jesse's Girl. So that was his huge song, right?
So he wrote one song. Then.
Here's the thing. He's 71 years old. No one is looking for the new Rick Springfield album anytime soon or anywhere. No. But he's still booking cruises and all this shit. And it's all these women who are like diehard fans from the 80s. They sell out. Rick Springfield lives a great life. Richard Marx appears, if he's with Daisy Fuentes, for Christ's sakes, lives a great life. I don't understand why you did 55,823 tweets on
Nobody that's
Twitter.
Got 55,000 tweets is living a great life. I promise you that.
Pull up Daisy Fuentes today and Richard Marx.
Yeah, pull them up next to each other because clearly he's either had his nose smashed in a vice or somebody's done some plastic surgery to it.
Oh, yeah. She looks great.
He looks like a goddamn alien now.
I know.
God, what a stupid cunt. Look at him.
He looks like Siegfried.
He looks like he's got AIDS.
Siegfried and Roy.
Which is...
She looks like fucking identical. My God, Daisy Fuentes is held up.
Yeah, she's hot.
Man. Congratulations. By
the way, 55,000 tweets. That's less than Chrissy Teigen deleted after being caught being a pedophile.
Is it really?
She deleted like 63,000 tweets. Yeah. Do you remember that? Hot Bob? Shit. How many tweets did Chrissy Teigen delete? I think it was like 63,000.
Yeah, I heard it was a big number. I didn't know it was that high. Holy shit. That's crazy.
You may not be able to find it on Google search, and you may have to go to DuckDuckGo because Google are a bunch of cunts. 60,000.
I got it. 60,000.
Okay. Hey, and pull up that last shot. Go
and
back.
Look at the fucking Glamour.com story. She deleted 60,000 tweets because she's worried for her family's safety.
Yeah.
What about those tweets would endanger her family? Exactly. It goes back to the same thing I said before. I am not in any way upset about when politicians are afraid of their constituents.
No.
Doesn't bother me at all. If I was an elected leader right now, I wouldn't be afraid of anybody because, again, I would not have been fucking them over for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you feel that guilt. If you've been fucking people over for years, you're like, oh, they're going to come get me at some point. Fuck, yeah, man. Yeah. It's like being a drug dealer. You know you're going to either die or go to jail. That's what being a politician's like now.
Yeah.
I'm just going to hang on until I say the wrong thing, man.
And then, you know.
We'll see what happens after that.
We'll kind of see what happens after that. But, I think Chrissy Teigen's tweets were about like little kids and shit. There was a lot of them about little kids, like toddlers and tears and some other shit.
Yeah. Do you remember that whole thing with Lena Dunham where she was apparently finger blasting her 11-year-old sister?
Yeah.
And that's fine.
What was
it? No, like 11-month-old sister.
No way.
Yeah. When she was a kid, though, when she was like 8 or 9.
Gross.
She admitted it in her book or something.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Pull up Daisy Fuentes in that bathing suit, Hot Bob. There's a great picture of her. Daisy Fuentes, dude, is... We can't say enough nice things about your wife, Richard.
Well, so I mean, she may be a piece of shit, too, but...
It's forgive and forget on somebody like this. Look at that.
Yeah. Wait, is she hiding a hog down there? What is that?
Good for Daisy.
Hog hiders. It's a new fucking bikini line I came out with for...
Daisy Fuentes. The
chicks with dicks.
Can you say my white claw?
I know you can't say tranny, but can you say chick with dick now?
Mm-mm. I mean, you can say that.
It's unfortunate.
I think you can say that.
Can I call a transmission a tranny still, or is that word just completely off limits?
No. I think you're going to have to call it something else.
Was it Andrew Schultz that did that bit where he was like, grandmother, granny.
Granny, yeah. Yes. It is.
Transgender. Tranny. That's just kind of how we abbreviate words, folks.
Yeah.
It's not a pejorative.
It is. We get a ton of big stories after this, but Richard Marks, we had fun.
I've got a story right now, but let's do some sponsors
first.
Yeah,
we're going to do some sponsors, but wherever you go, whatever you do, I will be right there waiting for you, Richard. And Daisy Fuentes, call Dan Holloway if you want to switch out of that.
If you want to have beta. Sex with a real man for the first time in your fucking life.
Yeah.
And not have a dude that has to fold his dick in half because he can't get erections, I'm your guy.
I don't know. I'm not saying Richard Marks can't get erections.
I'm saying that he can't get erections. Based on his hair, I'm saying he can't get erections.
Because it takes too long? Or
no, because he's putting too much effort into his hair, which means his dick doesn't work. Nobody whose dick works puts that much attention into their hair.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Daisy, though, man.
That's science.
It is science. Yeah. Does she have a hot bob? While we're doing the sponsors, pull up Daisy Fuentes' Twitter. She has a crazy
kids?
Twitter.
Does she have any kids? What's the shape of her vagina? See if you can find a picture of her butthole, too, while you're
there. That doesn't exist out there.
Oh, she's actually using Mark's last name
Daisy
now.
Daisy Fuentes Marks. Why? You're Daisy Fuentes. You don't need the Marks, brother.
Advocates for peace, love, and...
What's her thing say?
Animal rights.
Go to her bio.
Okay, so she has a new podcast with her husband. It's called Tequila Talk.
Oh, God, that's awful.
Oh, boy. Okay, Jersey girl, model, mogul, TV personality, author, philanthropist,
look,
hopeless romantic, advocate for peace and love and animal rights.
I love animals as much as anybody else. They're fun to play with, cuddle, eat, whatever. If you're spending your time as a human being, being an animal rights activist, while people are starving, human beings are starving to death, you got to go. You have to get off of my fucking planet. Get out. We don't have time for that shit. We have more important things. Can you imagine your house is on fire and the fire department shows up and your kids are in there and you're like, fucking save my kids. And they run in and come out with a parrot.
Yep.
We got the parrot, man. No.
No, dude. You don't got the parrot.
God damn it.
Let's pull up their podcast. I'm going to pull up their podcast here real quick. Do they have
I'm sure it's great.
Well, okay. She posted audio from the first, like there's this clip is, I assume.
Great. So I'm looking at it. She's
years ago, I did a tour.
Yeah, play it.
Okay, hold on. Let me
make sure there's no music in it, but play it.
Wow. Summer tour with the amazing Ringo Starr.
He did a tour.
This week on Tequila Talk.
You do the best, Ringo.
I can't do it because my voice isn't 100%, but
listen
to it. Start the same, which is, hi, Rich, it's Rich.
Hi.
Because his name is Richard Starkey.
Want to know what burns my ass?
Tell me what burns what burns Daisy's ass?
Karen's gone wild.
Karen's gone wild.
Hashtag Karen's gone wild.
Well, racist Karen's gone wild.
Check out new episodes of Tequila Talk with Daisy Fuentes and Richard Marks every Wednesday here on Straw Hut Media.
They're just so disgusting. They're such disgusting. Like, what is it that makes these women go to 11 like that? What is happening?
That's horrible. If you didn't want to kill yourself before, you sure as shit do now.
And if you do, know that we understand after that.
Yeah.
Here's the offer that I'll make, the olive branch that I will extend. If Daisy and Richard want to come on air and talk about my aunt's blowjob in 1987, we'll be happy to host you and we'll promote Tequila and Talk? We'll promote that show
talk
on the
tequila.
Air. Talk Tequila. The only problem
tequila
with this...
Tequila Talk. They have
and
tequila.
Dude, I don't really... fucking go arrogant too much, but like how do I word this without sounding like an asshole? The slowness in their voice, I would fucking steamroll these people in a goddamn interview, and it would just be a nightmare, and I would come off like a fucking cocksucker. Know this, I will treat you with respect. I will talk as slow as you will, and then I
think we should have John Edward on. Remember that guy?
The psychic
medium?
Yes.
So he can bring your dead aunt back, and so she can describe the blowjob. I don't know. This is a family show.
Get Teresa Giudice on the show and fucking talk about it. And Richard, like, dude, there's a bunch of, like, everybody in my, like in my family's dead for some reason off of one weird thing. Dad, uncles, grandparents, all that shit. So I'm not, and it wasn't like murders or something violent or whatever. It was like weird things where they were just like, oh shit, they checked out. Like nothing bad, nothing whatever. So, yeah, you got fucking blown by a dead person. Who cares? Who fucking cares?
Dude? Well, she wasn't dead at the time.
No, she was
that's
alive.
That's a different story.
She was alive at the time.
Yeah.
She was alive at the time.
Yeah, let's do some sponsors.
Yeah. They're going to love. GhostBed loves these segues, dude, from dead people's blowjobs to.
They've been tolerating it for a long time.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. First and foremost, GhostBed.com/drinkingbros. 40% off the bundle packages. So if you get an adjustable base and a mattress together, you get 40% off. Just type in the promo code Drinking Bros at checkout. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I've lost a mattress, Rich, and I'm going to be ordering a new one in the adjustable base. It is all flooded out, and I got to get it. I can't sleep on anything else besides the goddamn ghost bed anymore. So you've got me hooked. So ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today, mattresses, sheets, all of the things, the pillows, everything is so goddamn nice there that I need it again. Cause it's all flooded out and it's gone. So I'm going to be, ordering that real soon. And as always, they got a 36 month pay as you go program, no interest there at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. So fucking hop on it, dude. $35 a month. You're in and out the door, dude. 3 years, no interest, blah, blah, blah. It's amazing. It's fucking amazing. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. Drinking Bros at checkout. Next up, cardomax.com. We're having it. We're drinking it right now.
It goes really good with White Claw and vodka.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Just so, in case you were wondering.
Can't recommend that enough. Actually, shit, I'm out.
Energy intensifier.
Hot Bob, would you mind grabbing me just a solo cup? Maybe.
Why don't you just use that Drinking Bros sports glass right there?
A little bit of ice in it. Is it clean?
I doubt it.
No, me neither. That's why I wasn't going to use it.
Yeah. Nothing's clean here.
No, nothing. Nothing. People clean. Are fucked in here. People are living in here.
Yeah.
dogs, children. Everything is in here. Not that we care, obviously. We're a fucking office for the people. We don't give a shit.
Yeah, this place has been a hotel for the last
Although,
week.
Although, who is it? Was that Gary Bregman?
Yeah.
Came in? God damn it, man. Just email us. Give us a heads up, right? Child was down. He was watching Cocomelon, and then he rolls in, and
he heard there were some illegals here. He came to beat him up.
He came just to kick him in the chest. Just give us an email or a text. That's all we're asking for. And then you can show up. We don't really care. I just put the 2-year-old down.
Yeah. Or if you come in and you see the 2-year-old, you have to put him back to bed. It's like when you come into somebody's house and you open the door, you don't just leave the door open. You close it.
Yes.
So if you come to somebody's house and you wake up the kid, you got to put the kid back to sleep.
Exactly.
That's the way it is.
Stay on Dan's single here while we do the next sponsor so I can grab the Tito's from him.
Yeah.
Next up, we got KillCliffCBD.com.
Yeah, Kill Cliff is, it's my fave. Well, it's not just CBD. Kill Cliff does a lot of different products, but we focus on the CBD. I've been mixing it with all sorts of stuff. Vodka. Actually, we've got four cases on the way right now. I just got one of each of all the four flavors.
Of Kill Cliff?
Well, I got all the ones except for mango. I got Strawberry Daze. I got the cereal Grapist or Grapist of all time.
That's my favorite.
I got...
Shit, that Flamin' Joe. I want to rephrase. I think the Flamin' Joe is taking over, by the way.
It's really good, yeah. I got Flamin' Joe and I got the Orange Kush. So I got all four of those flavors. I didn't get mango. because I fucking forgot, to be honest. I like mango. It's fine.
I like mango. It's just, look, yeah. I go, I'm one of those people that I'm going to get my faves. Like, I get them in, like, dude, at my house, it's just, it's grape. And then it's the Flamin' Joe now that has taken over my house personally. I love it. Go to KillcliffCBD.com today. 25 milligrams of CBD in every single can. You will not piss hot. There's no THC in this. Killcliff is literally the only name you can trust as far as drinkables go. Otherwise, man, I can't guarantee what's in it. And, you know, everybody's using CBD as an alternate for weed and all that other shit. We have a lot of military and first responders. We wouldn't fuck you guys over, man. There's no THC in this. Joe Rogan is also, he has his own flavor there. So he wouldn't do that to you either. 20 calories a can. 30% off with the promo code DRINKINGBROS and free shipping at KillcliffCBD.com. It is amazing. Last but not least, D'Anthony, you want to give some love to Harry's, dude. I want to give some love to Harry's today. I'll tell you why. If you saw the episode yesterday, it was black and white. That's all we could do. As we got the powers back up, water's back up in here, we're good to go. I couldn't shave or fucking shower for 8 days. Really want to thank my neighbors, the Cavenders. Michael and Carrie, you saved my life. They said, hey, man, they let me come over. I said, we got a show today. I can't look like this on camera. Mm-hmm. I had to shave. And I can't grow a sweet beard like Dan. It's patchy. I can get an awesome mustache and a soul patch, but that's about it. The rest of it is horrific, and it looks like shit. If it looked as cool as Dan's, I would do it, but I can't. Therefore, I had to shave. And one thing I had on me yesterday was the fucking Harry's thing. So at harrys.com, I had the kit. It was already packed to go back to North Carolina. It's $3. That's it. Go to harrys.com/drinkingbros, harrys.com/drinkingbros to get a Harry's starter set and free body wash for $3. So all this shit was in there. I just took it over to the house, shaved with it. It's got shaving cream, body wash. I took a shower for the first time in 7 days. That was nice. Again, thank you to the Cavenders and thank you to harrys.com. $3. That was it. Now, this is while supplies last. Last time we had them on the show last year, it sold out in like, I don't know, a week or a record time. Yeah, and I get it, man. The products are fucking amazing. You get the grip and all that other shit. Even if you just want a travel kit to travel with, get this and try it out. So for a limited time, Harry's has an exclusive offer for listeners. New customers can get a Harry starter set and a free body wash for just $3 at harrys.com/drinkingbros. It's over like a $16, $20 value for $3. You'll get a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, a travel cover, and a travel size body wash. It's an incredible deal. But again, it's while supplies last. They go pretty fast. Go to harrys.com/drinkingbros to redeem your offer today. And then Cardomax, by the way, promo code DB.
Oh yeah,
buy one get one there. So here it is. It's right here. It's just a little pouch. Boom. Yeah. You rip it open and squeeze it. We've been drinking vodka and soda with it, and then boom, a splash of Cardomax. You're good to go. Energy intensifier, dude. I need it on a day like this, man. It's just been me and my 2-year-old. I got a flight out tomorrow.
Give it to the 2-year-old. I know.
Oof. Could you imagine? He would go nuts.
Yeah, dude. He would not do well with that.
You wouldn't think so, right?
No, it wouldn't do well with it. I am, and it's been keeping me going. So shout out to Cardomax. It's CardoMax.com. Promo code DB. It's just DB. And it's buy one, get one. So you get a whole bag. Get a whole bag of this. Boom. Buy one, get one. You're good to go. And it's Sean Mattson's company. You know Sean from the show. Navy SEAL, great dude. He's been on numerous times. So you're supporting a veteran-owned company. And Sean, let's face it, is great. So go there now. Go to cardomax.com, promo code DB. Sweet. There.
All right. Let's talk about General Lloyd Austin.
Let's get into it.
General Lloyd Austin is the new Secretary of Defense,
mm-hmm.
right? About a month ago. For those of you that don't know, General Lloyd Austin was a commander in Fort Bragg for a while, I think a 3rd BCT. Then he went on to become the 18th Airborne Corps commander, for those of you that don't know what that is. 18th Airborne Corps is in charge of the 82nd Airborne, 10th Mountain, 3rd ID, a number of other units, 4th PSYOP, I think, some other units. Anyways, he was a commander there and now is going to be the Secretary of Defense. Heavily invested in Raytheon.
Mm. Right? Why is that?
Because he knows people in the... When you're a general like that, you have a lot of sway and a lot of contacts over the people that make purchasing decisions in Washington for the military. So you go work for Raytheon, you get Raytheon awarded a bunch of contracts, and that's exactly what he did.
Okay. Right?
About a month ago, he pledged to recuse himself from military decisions involving Raytheon. Now, we all know that's bullshit. That's the same as anybody in Congress or Senate saying they're not going to use the information they get to trade stocks, mm-hmm. which we know that everybody on every side of the aisle did. Republicans and Democrats both dumped all kinds of stocks right before COVID because they knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Right? And there's no law against that, by the way. There's no such thing as insider trading when it comes to that.
Which is crazy.
It is crazy, yeah. And there's no rule that says this guy had to recuse himself from military decisions involving Raytheon just because he had worked for him. There's no nothing... There's no rule that says he has to do that. So, man, about a week ago.
You seem really frustrated by this, by the
I'm,
way.
I'm frustrated because people, we see it with this Ted Cruz thing. People refuse to apply the standard if it applies to somebody on their political side. That's just how it is. People are defending Ted Cruz, trying to say, well, what Cuomo did was worse. Like, yeah, it was worse. So what are we having, a shitbag competition? Are we just calling out shitbags?
Yeah.
I thought we were just calling out shitbags here. I didn't know it was a fucking competition.
Yeah.
Anyways, about a week ago, the Biden administration awarded an $85 million contract to Raytheon, even though they did not deserve it. They also allowed Raytheon to be one of the primary players in a new missile defense system and blah, blah, blah. Here's the real problem. About a month ago, a little less than a month ago, Raytheon said they were trying to sell this missile defense system to Egypt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, yeah, the administration is definitely going to block this. So they started doing other stuff. Well, it turns out that the administration allowed it. So the rolling airframe missile was requested by the Egyptian Navy to improve their coastal defense. $200 million worth of equipment was allowed to be sold from Raytheon to the Egyptian government.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you paid attention back in 2012 or since, the Egyptian government isn't exactly an ally to us.
No.
Or to their own people.
I was going to say, I was unaware that they had a government in place that could actually govern right now.
Right.
Because it seems to be a lot of violence still. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the Biden administration has been talking since before they were even inaugurated about how they're going to start limiting military spending to Saudi Arabia, right?
Correct. Yes,
they haven't done that either, and they've now increased spending and funneled money to this company in Egypt. So a month ago, I just want to set the timeline here. A month ago, people are floating General Lloyd Austin as Secretary of Defense. He has to go in front of the Senate Armed Services Committee and I will recuse myself from any kind of decision on that, and then a bill that would allow Egypt to buy hundreds of millions of dollars worth of offensive weapons, which even Raytheon didn't think they would get. Mm-hmm. Their guy gets in as Secretary of Defense, and they immediately get the goddamn contract. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me?
But in your experience, because you were overseas a lot during a lot of this fuckery that went on, right? Were you over there for the Enron shit or the Donald Rumsfeld shit or...
No, when I deployed, well, yeah, I was a little bit, yeah.
You were, okay.
My deployment started late 07, so Bush was still present when I deployed.
And the reason why I ask is this, did you
I'm sorry, early 07 into mid 08. Late 06 is what I meant.
Here's where I'm going with this. Did you know when you were over there, like all this shit was going on and what you were doing?
I knew before I went there was going on.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's American politics. Look, was it 1953, the CIA helped overthrow the democratically elected government of Iran and install the Ayatollah Khomeini?
Mm-hmm.
And that's worked out, right?
It was a democracy before that, right?
Yes. And it was one of the most westernized Middle Eastern countries that exist. Now it's one of our primary enemies in the world. Because of us. Not because of them. It was because of us.
Right.
Same thing with Afghanistan. Watch the movie Charlie Wilson's War is kind of reductive, But the main point that they make, which is that the Mujahideen was a fighting force that needed help defeating the Russians. We helped them. And then instead of staying there and building schools, we left and they built madrasas and the Taliban took over. Same thing happened in Saudi Arabia. We helped them prop up fucking all this stuff. And then 83% of all elementary or primary schools in Saudi Arabia are madrasas. Madrasas teach death to America. 83% of the schools in Saudi Arabia, that's what they teach. Egypt is run by the Muslim Brotherhood, which teaches the same thing. Now we're giving them $200 million worth of offensive weapons, and they're this close to Israel. So all you motherfuckers out there that think that America is somehow an ally for Israel or whatever the fuck, you're out of your goddamn mind. This isn't about Biden. It's not about Trump. It's not about any of these fucking people. Every U.S. president forever, at least since Eisenhower, has sucked the dick of the Middle East constantly because we want that fucking oil. That's all it is.
Well, with everything going on, I just had this conversation with my parents because we're, and you, shit, too, because we were looking at those Hummers and everything else, right? What I was unaware of was how many electric vehicles are coming out, right?
Yeah, but electric vehicles are coal-powered, by the way. Most of the energy that you get to charge up your electric vehicle is from coal. It's not magic electricity. It's not wind or solar, so they're not really electric cars.
No. And I understand that, but do we need the Middle East?
No.
For oil, okay. No. Because that's where I was going with this. Like,
oil does a lot more than just fuel vehicles, by the way. It also makes plastics and all sorts of other shit.
But will we need them as much, I guess? I'm trying to figure it out.
Even if we ran our vehicles at their current rate, we don't need the Middle Eastern oil. Like Dick Cheney.
Oh, what the fuck?
Dick Cheney caught a lot of heat because we wouldn't tap in to our strategic oil reserves. Mm-hmm. And instead, we kept fighting these wars all over the Middle East to secure better oil rights. Actually, what these politicians say is, well, the Middle East needs to be stable because if not, OPEC will charge more for oil, and that we don't want to pay more for oil, so we have to fight these wars. And they justify it saying we're fighting wars to maintain our way of life. It's not true. It's not true because we can easily tap into the oil that we have here already. Same thing with lithium. Everybody's like, oh, we got to fight in Afghanistan because of lithium, or we have to fucking be aware of Venezuela and Brazil because of lithium. No, we have the fourth largest deposit of lithium in the world. We're the only country that has multiple private industries trying to go to space to mine lithium right now. We don't need any of this shit. All this is doing is making fucking Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, General Dynamics, and all these other cunts rich, period. And it's your life, my life, that gets fucking taken for it. So I'm done with this shit. Fuck that fortunate son stuff. It's not about it's not about that class warfare shit, necessarily. It is about these rich, powerful assholes. They don't give a fuck about life at all. And they've done so much at this point that they feel like they can get away with anything.
Yes.
Right.
Well, because they keep doing it, right? So, yeah. You know, I hate to keep harping on it.
I say it's not about class warfare. And the only reason I say that, because technically it is class warfare, but half the people in this country are on board with it. And it's not always the same half. With the Biden administration in, people will defend this decision. People on the left will defend this decision. If it was Bush doing it, people on the right would defend this decision.
Right.
You're full of shit. Fuck you.
The reason I wanted to chat about it, like especially the oil shit, was you and I on the show have laughed about getting those new Broncos forever, mm-hmm. right? Well, it turns out they're finally fucking here. So I went to, you need to fill out the paperwork and say, hey, are you really going to buy this? I was like, yeah, man, I'm really going to buy this. They're expecting them, I think, by the end of June. Well, while I was there waiting, because it took about an hour to process the paperwork and all that shit, they were like, hey, man, can we, you know, interest you in looking at this electric vehicle? And I was like, ah, shit, I was unaware that you had any coming out. What are they? Mm-hmm. And it was a Mustang. It's called a Mach-E. And it was pretty affordable. It was $42,000. All electric. Dope as shit. I got to go on the inside of it. It was a dealership out in Buda, Texas, which is kind of halfway between my office and the house. And like, I was like, oh my God, dude, this is nice. Like, I've been in Teslas. It feels like a Tesla. This is fucking crazy nice. And they were like, yeah, man, it goes to like 0 to 60 in like 3 seconds and all that other bullshit and everything else. And I was like, holy shit. I was like, it finally starts to feel like the future is here. Because with a Tesla, with a Tesla, you're on a wait list and good luck getting one and everything else. And there's a charging station everywhere else. All these cars that you and I are looking at and everything else for the future, not the Bronco yet, but are somewhere between 400 and 500 miles with one charge. Yep. The faster we can get out of the Middle East, in my opinion, the better. And it's like,
well, again, it's not about being able to; it's about the will to. It's not the same thing. So we're not. It is. I don't think it's right or ethical to fight wars over resources in the first place.
Me neither.
However,
yeah.
If it were necessary, then when I say necessary, I mean if there was a legit lack of oil and we had to have it and somebody wouldn't give it to us, I mean, it's a matter of survival at that point. I guess in some ways you could justify that, but that is not the case. It's not a matter of survival. It's a matter of oil and gas profits. That's it. And I'm not talking about the people who work in oil and gas in the United States. I'm talking about companies that import oil from other countries and refine it from other countries. It's about Halliburton and Raytheon and General Dynamics and all these other motherfuckers, right? And if you're a Republican right now and you're feeling slighted by this, like, I can't believe Biden would do this. It was George Bush and Dick Cheney that did it, motherfucker. The same guys that's presided over the largest expansion of the federal government in U.S. history.
But it just keeps going, right?
It'll always keep going, yeah.
But even with Reagan and the Iran-Contra.
It wasn't just Iran-Contra. Reagan raised taxes 13 times during his 8 years in office. He also saw a 3X in the national debt, tripled the national debt during his time in office. Now, to be fair, one of the things he was trying to do was break the back of the Russian economy, and it worked. Mm-hmm. Because the wall fell and Russia fucking doesn't exist in the same way it did before. But was it worth it? Was it worth it to do that and continue to pile on the national debt? So it's a confluence of factors. The Republicans did that. Meanwhile, on the left, with welfare reform in the early 90s with Clinton, there was no real reform. They just gave out more money.
Right.
You know what I mean? So instead of conservatives doing what conservatives do, which is be conservative economically, they said, fuck it, all the way back in 1981, my birth year, by the way.
Hey.
And tripled the national debt over the next 8 years. And then Clinton had he had two budget surpluses, I believe, in 96 and 98, maybe. I don't remember what years it was.
Yeah.
But I believe the national debt rose under him as well. And then the largest expansion of the federal government in history happened in 2002 with the Department of Homeland Security. Right. So neocons, if you want to call them that, have continued to spend and spend and spend. And leftists have continued to spend and spend and spend and spend and spend and spend. And now we're fucked.
So let me ask you a giant overall question here, because this is the one that I have always wanted to have answered. If we end up switching to electric and we don't need the Middle East for oil, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can we ever get our fucking troops just out of there and let them fucking blow each other up and not deal with this anymore? Because that's, truthfully, for me personally, that's really all I care about. Because everybody, yourself included, who has been on this show and who has fought overseas has said, man, I don't know what we were fighting for.
Well, I'll tell you this. Me personally, in my late teens, early 20s, When I'm looking at the news and I see people being victimized by despots and failed states, I want to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
But America can't do that. It cannot be America's job to do that. Me personally, I want to go do something about that. The same way if somebody was bullying somebody right here, I'd fucking knock their ass out. You know what I mean? But the country itself can't do that. The implications are too great. It just can't. It cannot work that way. It's not none of our business, because, as JFK said, I'll support any friend and defend and fight any enemy to ensure the success and continuation of liberty, or whatever the fuck. I'm paraphrasing, but we haven't even gotten to the point in the United States where everybody has the same liberty. You know what I mean? We went from only white male landowners being able to vote to black dudes could then vote. And then 1920 women could vote. And then Jim Crow was involved there. So what rights black people did have were essentially unexercisable, including the GI Bill. And, you know, until the 1970s, really, it wasn't even close to a level playing field. 70s to late 90s, it was a little closer. And lately, it's we've seen the wage gaps between certain, like, I mean, look, Asian males in this country make more per capita than any other group of people. And now there's a thing called Asian privilege, by the way, which is.
Is it really?
Yes. Ridiculous. But we can't even get our own shit together. We have anywhere from 70 to 150,000 homeless veterans on any given night in this country. So the idea that we would go outsource our fucking ethics and morality somewhere is a fucking joke to me, right?
So in our lifetime, do we ever get out of the Middle East and get our troops out of there?
No. No, not unless we have a complete shift in the balance of power in America. When I say the balance of power, I mean completely dissolve our current system of government. Representative democracy doesn't work at this scale. Obviously, it doesn't work. I mean, I hear politicians say they're not fucking representatives. They're whatever the fuck else. Like, it's not my job. I literally heard a politician say this. I'm not a representative. I'm a trustee of the will of the people. So I want to know what they think, and then I go exercise that somewhere. No, you're not. It says representative in your fucking name, asshole. So, you know, unless we get rid of the idea that 538 people are going to decide, 538 plus the vice president and president, so 540 people decide everything for us all the time. 540 people decide everything for 330 million people. That's ludicrous, right? The last, any time in human history you've seen that, whether it's Rome or fucking Gaul or the British Empire, you've seen, or French Empire, you've seen revolution violently. Because at some point, affluent fucking people that are out of touch telling the plebs what to do under threat of force causes violence. It's just the way it is. So at this point, I'm kind of resigned to the fact that there's going to be violence at some point, and I'm just kind of waiting for it to happen, to be honest.
Yeah, but it's such a fucking heavy statement that we will never, ever get our troops out of there. How many years has it been now that we've been over there?
I mean, if you count the British-Iranian oil, or yeah, the British-Iranian oil company, 75, 80 years. We're never leaving.
No.
Not a chance.
Fuck.
It'll never happen. Even if I mean, you see it with Afghanistan. The reason Afghanistan is strategic territory is, one, because Russia wants to build an oil pipeline to Europe, and two, because there's a shit ton of unmined rare earth metals everywhere. In Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, all the stands, basically. There's plenty of stuff there, and it's easy to mine, provided you can secure the region. So I guess you have to ask yourself if it's ethical for the U.S. government to send 19 and 20-year-old men and women to go fight and die so that private companies in the U.S. can make billions of dollars in profits off of rare earth metals in Afghanistan, provided we can keep it secure. And notably, we have the fourth largest reserves of those things in the world already. I think it's unethical. I think the U.S. is quickly becoming a failed state. And I have no faith in our leadership at all.
No. Me neither. And, you know, I talked about this a little bit on RPR the other night, where I was just like, look, besides your friends, family, and your neighbors at this point, like, it's hard to try to ask for help for anybody else or expect the best out of anyone else. However, we expect the best out of people from the Drinking Bro of the Week, which is that point in the show here. Again, we read these live on air. Go to drinkingbros.com, and we have some butter soft teas on there for $19.99 if you want one. Then you can also leave a free just Drinking Bro of the Week, and it gets sent to us. We don't know what it is. We read it live on air, so I'm going to open this one up now. Let's see here. Aaron from Florida has been a member of Drinking Bros for 5 years, is nominating Count Dracula. That is real. He taught me how to count, but obviously skipped Dan's house because that dude cannot count. Highlanders lock shields.
What the fuck is this guy?
No, that's real. This is real, by the way.
I think we need to have some
kind of... What is Highlanders lock shields? I don't know what that is.
I don't know what Highlanders lock shields... There can be only one Highlander, I guess. Is he? Are we trying to? Is this guy trying to fight me to the death or some shit? Wait, so, what's his name?
His name is Aaron from Florida. By the way, if you don't believe we read these live on air, that we do, because they just get emailed to us, so I just pull them up. So whatever it is, it is. And I don't, we don't pre-screen them because we don't want to leave anybody out.
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude.
That's really funny.
But he went through the trouble to say, dude, I've been a Drinking Bro listener for 5 years, and he's nominating Count Dracula.
Well, look, I mean,
because he taught me how to count, and then
Count Dracula, you know, may have, for that young generation, popularized vampires so much that Interview with a Vampire was successful, which also led to other things that are good, but it also led to Twilight.
Twilight, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
Which is not good.
No, no. And now he's the new Batman.
Yeah.
So that's really fucking funny.
I'm still hopeful about Robert Pattinson as Batman, by the way. I mean, Batman is Batman's fucking emo, dude. I don't know why you think he's not.
I'm not.
His whole career is based off his parents dying.
Go ahead. How about
Highlander's lock shields appears to be maybe what the first LARBN association, Dan, I don't know, you're the military guy here. What the fuck is this? This is all I couldn't even find anything from Google, really. I had
first
to,
LARBN is First Marine LARS or some shit, probably. I don't know what LAR stands for in the Marine Corps. Reconnaissance surveillance. Yeah, long range. It's probably LARS. The Army version of that is LARS. So, LAR is light armored vehicle, maybe, or some shit. I don't know. I don't know anything. I don't know Marine Corps stuff, but their badge that you're showing there has an LAV.
Put it up on screen, at least for the people to
light
see.
Light armored reconnaissance battalion. That's what it is.
Okay. All right.
So the guy's a Marine Corps guy. A LAV 25. Okay. With a fucking 25 millimeter gun on it. Yeah. Camp Pendleton. So he was, that's 1st Marine Division. So maybe he wasn't challenging me. He was just saying the motto from his unit. Maybe next time qualify that statement. Because look, if you want to, I don't really want to fight with shields and swords, though. That seems like a lot of work.
It's
you know how heavy those goddamn swords are? Can you imagine exhausting. Being a fucking, like being in a Roman phalanx or something like that?
Yeah.
And you're in the front line, right? So in the front line, you've got a sword and a shield.
Yeah.
And you're blocking, and the second row behind you are the first spearmen, right? And they're jumping over you and spearing people. And then you move the phalanx forward or backwards, and then you switch out with the fucking third row of shields.
A lot of work.
I mean, I'm not doing any of that.
It's just a hockey line.
Yeah.
Right? They play for a minute.
It's more like a rugby scrum than a hockey line, to be honest. But yeah, it's stupid. I'm not doing any of that. But these guys, you were a fucking tank driver. You were hiding inside of a big piece of metal.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Motherfucker. Actually, fuck that. I would rather be on foot than be in one of those LAVs because they get blown up all the time.
Okay.
I would always rather be on foot. Even though some of our interpreters, this one guy in particular, went colloquially by Chris. No Chris is in Iraq, by the way. His real name was Muhammad. But one day we were walking down the street and like, hey, you think that's an IED? We should call in a demo team and check it out. He goes, I don't know. Let me go check. And he just walked over there and kicked it. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong
with
you?
No way.
Yes. That was a regular occurrence. I'm like, no, I'm not. Not doing that. Get your legs and balls blowing off. I'm all set, brother.
Yeah. Look, along with Count Dracula, who I respect and love, I'm going to give my own here simply because they helped me out here. Walt Smith, the county commissioner of Hayes County, actually my neighbor, and he helped fucking get thousands of pounds of water out of my house, along with the Cavenders, Michael and Carrie.
A lot of people in Texas have been very helpful. Tim,
yes,
Kennedy's been helpful. Jesse James bought like thousands of dollars worth of pizzas for first responders and police and shit the other day.
Yes.
Some dude, we talked about him yesterday, but I think Xander might know him, but he bought like $7,500 worth of tacos.
Yep.
Not even for anybody in particular. He's just he called the place and said, here's 10,000.
It was 1,000 tacos, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, here's 10,000 bucks. Yes. Give tacos to people.
So tacos to everyone. Yeah. So Walt
Smith. A lot
Smith,
of people have been very
The
helpful.
Cavenders, Michael and Carrie, my neighbors, Kathy and those guys who came over and helped me just get out fucking gallons and gallons of water out of my house. It is dry today, and, we'll wait for the insurance adjusters to get in and all that shit. But I want to say this, man, because, Texas is taking a lot of heat online. the people of Texas are great humans, dude. And I honestly haven't felt a sense of community like that where everybody helped out at each other.
They can't drive in the snow
for a long time. Yeah, and we made fun of everybody for driving in the snow.
I'm going to make fun of them forever for that.
For that. But, yeah. I mean, dude, as far as, like, being helpful and just great humans, like, shit, Texas, yeah, it's a great state to live in.
Texas is the kind of place, if you're driving down the highway and you see a woman changing her own tire, that is not a thing here.
No.
Like,
everyone will stop.
Not that women can't change tires, but it's kind of like some good old boy shit where, like, there's no, like, there's some phrase about this. Like, a woman should, it's actually, I think, a Texan phrase. A woman should know how to change a tire, but she should never have to.
Exactly.
Or something like that. Yeah. And it's just common courtesy for a man to do heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But it goes beyond just gender roles. It's everything. You would be... It would be a rare occurrence to see somebody struggling alone here, which is why the homeless situation in Austin is so weird to me. Like, you don't see it. There's no way in a conservative city you would ever see homelessness like that.
Right.
Because it's just like two different types of ways of dealing with something. The leftist way of dealing with homelessness is to feel empathetic about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, somebody should do something.
Yep.
The conservative way is like, I should do something.
Yes. Yeah.
And it shouldn't be down party lines. It's not that conservatives are better than leftists. It's that just happens to be a cultural thing. And if you're out there, I know a lot of leftist people that would absolutely do anything for somebody that needed help.
Yeah.
But it
yeah.
seems to be, at least politically, it seems to be pervasive on the left side to coddle and empathize instead of actually help. You know what I mean?
Because yeah.
they're more afraid to hurt feelings than they are willing to help people, and I think that's a problem.
And I will say this too, like, because I've been in. Everybody keeps making memes about me being in like every natural disaster, and yes, it does feel like I'm living in Final Destination, the movie, and I'm still alive somehow.
Yeah.
But having been in all these fucked up situations in all these different places around the fucking country, I was in Atlanta during that. Massive blackout at mm-hmm. Hartsfield Airport, where 150,000 people were. My wife was pregnant, and they put us all on the tarmac, and then everybody was sprinting towards one door to try to get out of there. Nobody helped each other.
Yeah.
I was living in Los Angeles during all of those rolling blackouts for AC. That was just air conditioning. During the summer, no one helped each other. During this, in Texas, during these rolling blackouts and electricity and all this other shit, everyone helped each other. Down here. So right. Shit, man. Yes, you can make fun of Texas all you want from the outside. And I get it, man. I went to Ohio State, lived in New York a couple times, went to NYU, all that other shit. It was not enough snow for all of this shit.
Mm.
However, when you don't have sand or rock salt or plows or any of that shit, like, then it becomes a disaster, and then all the pipes break and all that other stuff, and it is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
But everyone helped each other out, at least where I live, where Jared was.
The lesson there is not that, by the way, the Texans are better than anybody or that conservatives are better than anybody. It's that when you see the psychological principle of the bystander effect
mm-hmm.
is very interesting because, what is it, Kitty Genovese is the major study. It's a woman that got stabbed a bunch of times and everybody just kind of stood there and nobody helped because they were in shock.
Yeah.
And everybody thought, after analysis, everybody thought that somebody else would step in and help. Be the person that fucking says no. Be the person that says, this person's suffering. I have the ability right now. I can't solve every problem, but I can stop this motherfucker suffering right now.
Right.
Go do it.
Yeah.
It's really that simple.
And even with us, man, you know, as soon as we heard shit, everybody we work with of like, hey, man, we don't have power. We don't have it. We're like, hey, come live in the studio. Who gives a shit? I don't know how long you guys have been here, but dude, you're like our family and we don't care. So it's like, hey, man, just come in, live.
Well, if they were really like our family, we'd be having sex with them, right?
Maybe. Yeah. So fake Dan, it's time for you to spread your cheeks.
I'm declaring prima nocta on all of our employees. No, don't shake your head, bitch.
You don't want this asshole. It's
no, you take.
It's a lot of crumbs.
I'm gonna clean you up first.
Yeah.
Obviously, we'll send you to the car wash.
Nobody wants a Crohn's asshole.
No, that's true.
No one really does.
Is there like a support group for women who love anal but have Crohn's?
Yes,
or gay be, right? dudes, gay dudes with Crohn's. Can you imagine that?
Start God. That private Facebook
there's
group.
There's got
to be GayBottomsWithCrohn's.com.
There's only three people with Crohn's that I know of. It's me, it's Pete Davidson, and it's David Garrard.
Do you think Pete Davidson's eyeballs are a reflection of his Crohn's disease?
Butthole eyes.
He's one of the least attractive human beings I've ever seen. He's not very funny.
And
either.
He still keeps fucking the hottest women on the planet.
Yeah, like is he a good
Kate Beckinsale, Ariana Grande?
Well, he gets that big dick rap, right?
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true. I heard he's got a hog on him. Yeah.
I did find a Facebook group.
What's the Facebook group?
It's the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation announced. Just are you a gay or bi, are you just LGBT and have IBD? I guess is
irritable bowel syndrome,
yeah. Right?
Or for irritable Crohn's. Bowel disease. Yeah,
yeah. Join our new Facebook support groups to connect with others who can relate to what you're going through in your disease journey. And then they have groups for men and groups for women.
That's a great. Really shitty organization.
It really is.
Ew,
nailed it. Let's end the show with that. In the show with that.
See you in hell.
We will see everyone in hell. And then also, dude, Drink It Bros Sports is doing really fucking well. And we just signed on another sponsor. So subscribe to Drinking Bros Sports channel on there. We've been killing it in college basketball. We're just announced
expand to hockey and baseball.
Correct.
Yeah.
Zach Hurd, can we get him out of fucking Los Angeles and in here? I know we can't pay you fucking Two and a Half Men pays you or whatever show you're working on.
But it also doesn't cost as much to live here as it does in LA, motherfucker.
Come work in...
Cocaine's cheaper here, too.
Yes, dude. Come to fucking hockey
so
here.
It's like...
So we're expanding that network, and then these guys' show is my favorite, the college basketball show. I took the Ohio State bet with Hot Bob last night. We won $1,500. So
take Duke, Virginia tomorrow.
I am. Oh, shit. Well, this show will be afterwards.
Are you taking Virginia or Duke?
Virginia is, as far as I can tell, still minus two at Duke.
That's a crazy line.
I am Virginia
should be
on that.
It should be minus six plus, right?
Take Duke.
You're losing. Duke lost its best player.
Yeah, but it's in Cameron Indoor, and he thinks it's going to be a rally game.
Yeah, rally.
He could be right.
There's no fans.
He could be right. What's the money line on that, though? It's still like 160
or something.
It's probably
like plus 120.
It's shitty because it's
only 120?
Yeah. If it's a two-point line, then yeah, it's like 120 or 1.
That's not even worth the bet.
I'm taking Virginia.
Duke wins again.
When this show airs.
You'll know.
Yeah, we'll know. So whether Ross is right again for his 90th fucking time in a row, or whether Fake Dan is right again. I'm all in on Virginia, and I'm betting a grand on it.
Definitely right on that.
Drinking Bros is the promo code for mybookie.com.
Yeah.
Double your deposit and bet on that shit. For D'Anthony and Anthony Holloway, I am Ross Patterson. We are the Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone. First and foremost, our title sponsor, OmahaSteaks.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you an extra $35 off at checkout. When it comes to Father's Day, some things never change. Dads want steak. A recent survey shows 75% of Americans agree there's no better way to spend Father's Day than grilling with the family. From USDA certified tender steaks to burgers and more, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience, guaranteed to secure your spot as dad's favorite. Shop OmahaSteaks.com and give dad the legendary heartland quality he deserves. Plus, our listeners get an extra $35 off with the promo code Drinking Bros at checkout. Here's what I love about Omaha Steaks. It's easy to use. Shows up right at your house. In a huge styrofoam cooler full of dry ice, even in the hot, hot state of Texas down here. It keeps it nice and cool. Shit, mine, I was gone for 36 hours, dude, and it was still great when I returned. A ton of options over there for Omaha Steaks as far as delivery goes. Now, obviously, the steaks are to die for. The fan favorites, the filet mignon, which has earned the coveted distinction of USDA certified tender, and their all new smash burgers are built for the grill, but they also carry mouthwatering chicken, pork, seafood, desserts, and easy to prepare comfort food. My wife loves the apple tart desserts they have over there, and each steak is perfectly aged to maximize tenderness and hand cut by master butchers. Omaha Steaks has been America's original butcher since 1917. They're a family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. This Father's Day, give Dad the world's best steak experience with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for a guaranteed perfect gift that delivers legendary quality. And for an extra $35 off, use the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. It is omahasteaks.com and an extra $35 off with the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. Just go ahead and see this site for details. Brother!
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.